Okay, continue. Yatra, yatra.
Yatra, yatra.
Wherever.
Wherever.
Hare, hey.
Hare,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Of the Supreme Personality of
Krishna.
Archa.
The deity is worshipped.
Saha.
That.
Deshaha.
Place.
Place.
Country or neighborhood.
Shreyasam.
Of all auspiciousness.
Padam,
the place.
Yatra,
wherever.
Ganga
Adayaha, like the Ganges, Yamuna, Narmada, and Kaveri. Nadyaha,
sacred rivers.
Puraneshu, in the Puranas. Supplementary Vedic literature.
Cha,
also.
Vishuddha,
are celebrated. So translation, auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped. And also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. It is also said that a forest is in the mode of goodness, and therefore those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. Vanam gato yad darim ashrayeta. But one should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkey and other ferocious animals also live in the forest. But a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as shelter. Vanam gato yad darim ashrayeta. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, therefore, it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture. One is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee. Regularly worship the deity. Follow the regulative principles and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, the cities and villages in passion, and the brothels, hotels, and restaurants in ignorance. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore it is said here, Shreyasam Padam. It is the best, most auspicious place. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple. This deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishta Adhikaris in the lower stage of spiritual life. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text 47, Archayam eva harihe pujam yashradaye hate natad bhakteshu janeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general, is called a prakrita bhakta or kanishta adhikari. Therefore, in the temple, there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. The combination of the devotees and the deity creates a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if a grahastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small deity of Radha Krishna or Sita Ram in each and every house. This made everything auspicious, but now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized and are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred, and still there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavana, Haridwar, Rameshwara, Prayag, and Mathura. India is the place for worshipping or for cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna consciousness movement invites everyone from all over the world without discrimination as to caste or creed to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life perfectly.
Yatra yatra harer harcha sadesha shriyasam padam yatra ganga divonaja puraneshu cha vishrutaha.
So, Om Gana Timurandasha Gananjana Shvakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what is being described here is something called tirthas. And of course, many of you translate the word tirtha as a holy place, but the word tirtha basically means a crossing place. It's similar to the word bridge. Just like you have a bridge over the different rivers here. Navwa, you have a bridge. The Sori, you have a bridge. The Raywood River Bridge. Anyway, you have all these different bridges. So the word tirtha means the bridge from this material world to the spiritual world. That's really what tirtha means. And there's another interesting word, because you have the same suffix in another word, avatar, like tirthar, avatar. You understand? Avatar means to cross down. And tirtha basically means to cross up. So an avatar, he crosses down. We are not avatars. We cross down, but we're not avatars. We didn't cross down. We fell off the bridge. You understand the difference? And then, anyway, we fell down. So, in any case, so an avatar is someone who comes down from the spiritual world, either Vishnu Tattva, or Jiva Tattva, or something like Shakti Tattva, comes down from the spiritual world to help people cross up to the spiritual world. Just like there was one movie a while ago, hopefully none of you saw it, it's called Avatar. And it was about people who took on different bodies by different mechanical means. And that's not what the word avatar means. It means to come down. So anyway, so there are many permanent tirthas. By permanent tirtha, I mean Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rishikesh, all these different places are permanent tirthas. So if you go there, they are not in the material world, which is really interesting. Although they may appear to be in the material world, just like Prabhupada said, if you go to Vrindavan, there's a veneer of Maya there. A veneer means, like if you have some cheap furniture made of cheap wood, and then they cover it with something so it looks like expensive furniture, but if you scratch it, you understand? Then you get the cheap plywood underneath. So that's veneer. So there's a veneer to protect the holy dham from those who are not really ready to perceive it, as Krishna says in the Gita, that in the Ham Prakasha Sarvasha Yoga Maya Samavrita, that for those who are rascals, Mudayam Navijananti, then I protect the holy dham from their perception. So people go to Vrindavan and they just see a bunch of pigs, for example, or they see a bunch of monkeys, or a bunch of dirt. Hare Krishna. or a bunch of plastic bags. Of course, that's not good. I'm not saying that we should have those things. Of course, monkeys are nice, but the rest is not nice. So then that's yogamaya, protecting the holy dham. But underneath that, if one has spiritual vision, one can see the real form of the dham. And that is Krishna's pastimes, aprakrit lila, the unmanifest lila of the Lord taking place, the devotees, because everybody in the holy dham is a great devotee of the Lord. We may not see that, but Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, when will I be satisfied by taking the remnants of the untouchables in Mayapur dham, in Navadvipa dham? You know, we go there, we think, ooh, these untouchables. What do you call bungies? You have that word in Hindi? Bungie? That means the people who clean out the sewers and everything like that. The bungies. So, but actually, everyone there is going back to Godhead. Prabhupada actually said that everybody in the holy dham has Krishna directly, in Vrindavan at least, as his spiritual master. And even the monkeys, they were sannyasis in their last lives, Prabhupada said. And somehow or other, they were romantic sannyasis. They watched too many Bollywood films. And as a result, they broke the regulated principles, or they were sahajas or something like that. So one birth is monkeys and then back to Godhead. So you should even respect the monkeys. So one of the offenses that one could commit is offenses against the holy dham, to see it as an ordinary place, to see the residents as ordinary people. So one has to greatly respect it. Of course, it doesn't mean that you have to do everything that the gundas say in the holy dham. But at the same time, you even respect the gundas. My dear Gundashri. Anyway. So, that's the holy dham. And one has to have the right consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one should only go to the holy dham for a fortnight. Fortnight means like 2 weeks. Why? Because after that time, one becomes complacent. And one disrespects the residents, disrespects the deities, disrespects the holy places, and commits offenses. It is also stated that for an immature devotee, that's the injunction for an immature devotee should also not be too close to the spiritual master for a long period of time, because the same thing will happen. Or too close to the deities, because the same thing will happen. That you'll disrespect the deities, or be complacent, or not be attentive in the deity worship after some time. So the deity worship is actually, the deity worship is meant for advanced devotees. Living in the holy dham is meant for advanced devotees. Serving the spiritual master is meant for advanced devotees. So this is a very, very important point. So, visiting the holy dham is important. However, Srila Prabhupada has been so kind to us that he's established holy dhams all over the world. Because, as we mentioned, there's permanent holy dhams like Vrindavan and Mayapur, etc. But then we have the temples, which Prabhupada indicated, were also tirthas, places where you can cross over the material energy. Or, for those of you who study science fiction, portals. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen a science fiction, but you're all innocent people. None of you have seen any movies other than Krishna conscious movies. But anyway, portals, where you can enter. A portal is a science fiction term where you go to a particular place in the universe and you zap over to somewhere maybe billions of light years away. So these are portals where, like, portal also means door. It comes from the word port. You understand? Portal. I know portal is something you eat in here in Fiji, right? One type of food is portal, but that's not what we're talking about. So it says, give me a portal. It's not anywhere else. It means doorway, a portal to eternity. So anyway, so that Prabhupada has established temples for that specific purpose. And Prabhupada was very specific here in regard to communities surrounding temples. I found that quite interesting. Prabhupada uses the word community here quite a bit in the purport. And it's interesting also examining some of the pastimes of Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj This is exactly what he did in establishing some of the temples in America. And I was thinking about this. The two primary temples that he established were in Dallas, Texas, and Houston, Texas. I think most of you know where Texas is. It's where the cowboys came from. Anyway, not the cowboys in Vrindavan, but the Malecha cowboys. Anyway, so what he did is very interesting. As soon as he became the GBC of Texas, then he immediately bought up all the properties around the temple. Of course, I know the properties here are very expensive. You can't always do that. So, but the properties there were very cheap. He could buy houses there for 10,000 American dollars. It's amazing. You've been there, Parashuram, right? So he has this whole area, and each and every house has a spiritual name. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What's this house? Govardhan. Actually, that's where I stay. When I go to Dallas, I stay with this nice devotee, Dharma, who is a disciple of Srila Tamala Krishnamaraj. What's that? Yeah. And it's called Govardhan House. And I said, wow, Govardhan House. I get to stay in Govardhan today. And someone else has Vrindavan. You know, there's different houses. And there's a whole community that goes to see and takes care of the deities. And so, very nice country. And Houston, the same thing. Houston was so amazing that they got an inheritance of 20-something million dollars. You heard about that? Shyama Sundara Prabhu, who was the temple president of Houston, and he was preaching and someone passed away and they left like 25 million American dollars to the temple. Wow. Pretty good, isn't it? We can pray to the deities that they'll do that for us too. So, just that we should go around and say, have you written out your will yet to all of our congregation, you know, rich congregational members. Anyway, so they got $25 million, and he's bought up all the, they constructed apartments there. I mean, they have the best sannyasa ashram of anywhere in the world. It's like a whole suite. When I go there, it's just like, wow. Got my own kitchen, everything. It's just fantastic. So he's constructed a community understanding Prabhupada's instructions, and the people regularly go there to see the deities. It's something like if you go to India, you go to Jaipur. In Jaipur, of course, people live sometimes some distance from the temple, but everybody goes to see the deities every day. Why? Because they love Krishna. What can I say? They love Krishna, and because they understand if they want to be successful in their lives, they should get the blessings of Krishna. But sometimes we are so atheistic, we might as well join the Arya Samaj movement. So we are so atheistic that we may live, 1 kilometer away from the temple, and we don't come to see the deities every day or serve the deities. I mean, the deities have appeared for our sake. They've descended. They're avatars. You're talking about the word avatar, someone who crosses down? Well, by the mercy of Krishna's devotees, Srila Prabhupada and his servants, then the deities have been installed here. And they've come from the spiritual world. And it's Krishna, Sakshat Rajendra Nandana. It's not simply some ritual, like you go into some Hindu temple and you do this ritual, that ritual. But Krishna has directly appeared before us. It's amazing. People ask, have you seen Krishna? People ask me this all the time. Have you seen Krishna? And my answer is, just wait till 7 o'clock and you can see Krishna too. People expect some Krishna to appear like a ghost in front of them or something like that. Krishna's not a ghost. He's a person. Anyway, and then you can see Krishna. Of course, in his holy names and the deity. It's simply amazing how the Lord has appeared before us. And when you go before the deity, you can pray to the deity. And pray to the deity, for your spiritual life, pray to the deity for others, ask for the deity's blessings, you're having some trouble in your life, whatever it is, you want a job. Like Gokul Bandhu asked me to pray to the deities that he gets a job working for the Fiji Airways. So today when the deities open, I'll have to say, my dear Radhagolok Bihari, please Gokul Bandhu, a nice job. Anyway, I won't do that. So, but it's amazing. And so the devotees should take advantage, and that's why we've established the deities here. And we actually have a community. Many people live very, very close by. And they should come and see the deities every day. Just like in Jaipur, right? The whole community is centered around the deities. Or Sri Rangam, for example. Sri Rangam is a very interesting city. It's all centered around the temple. The temple is the center of the city. And then the first ring around the city, you've got the Brahmins. Then the second ring of houses around the city, you've got the Kshatriyas. Second ring, you have the third ring. You have the Vaishyas, and then the fourth ring, the Shudras, and then everybody else lives outside. But the deity, I mean, it's simply amazing. During the, every day, they bring the Utsava Murtis out. Utsava means the small deities, you know, like the small deities. Utsava means festival. They bring the Utsava Murtis out to people's houses, and the people make offerings to the deities, they have a Bhagavad Gita at their house, and then the deities go back. And the palanquin in which they bring the deities out is so big that each pole, you've seen that Sumukha, right? South India. Each pole is about this wide. And from here, maybe to where, let's say, to the, maybe not all the way to the end of the temple, from here to the altar, let's say, here to the entrance to the deity room. That long, and it takes like 20 men that are carrying this big thing. And it's a festival. You know, Utsava actually means festival. So every day is like a festival. So here, we are having a festival every day. And the devotees should come. Actually, another thing Prabhupada said, here in the purport, he mentions how the Brahmacharis and Vaishyas have the deity at home. But Prabhupada said a first class Grahastha, he worships the deities in the temple. That's the first class. So if you all want to be first class, then you concentrate on the deities in the temple. Everybody should come. And offer things. Whenever you come, you should offer something to the deities. Devotees should be fighting each other over deity service. You know, no, I want to do this RG. No, I want to do the RG. No, not quite like that. They should be fighting each other. You know, it's such an opportunity. But unfortunately, we see it as a duty. But Krishna is giving us an opportunity to chant, an opportunity to serve the deities, an opportunity to cook for the Sunday feast or cook on the daily basis. So we should be super anxious. I mean, as long as you have the energy to do it, you want to be happy, right? But if you simply sit at home and think, you know, I can't do this, I got too many things to do, then you're not going to be happy. You understand? Jeev jago, gora chanda bole, kota nidra, yao maya, pisa chira, kole. So anyway, so this temple here, and all the temples of the Krishna conscious movement where they worship the deities, they're holy places. And as good as Vrindavan. And you don't really even have to travel to Vrindavan because Radha Shyama Sundara are here. Radha Golok Bihari, Radha Shyama. You think there's a difference? I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference. And you can hear, and also, just as important is to hear regularly, because if you just worship the deities and don't hear about Krishna, that's not recommended. Like Prabhupada comments here, that a Kanishtha Adhikari, he may worship the deities, but he doesn't really understand that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Actually, one of the symptoms of a Kanishtha Adhikari is the fighting tendency with other devotees. Why does he fight? Because he doesn't see Krishna in everyone's heart. If I saw Krishna in Sumukh's heart, I'd never get angry with him. But because I don't, I chastise him. Well, it's actually my duty to chastise him. But in any case, if I hated him, let's just state it more clearly, if I had any hate for anybody, or if I considered someone to be my enemy, that would mean I am not seeing Krishna in their hearts. That means I'm a Kanishtha Adhikari, basically, or in the lower stages of devotional service. Kanishtha Adhikari, Prabhupada said, and Lord Chaitanya said, is a Vaishnava Praya. That means almost a Vaishnava. So really, if we want to be a Vaishnava and please the deities, because the deities, first of all, the deities are not pleased and we disrespect the devotees. That's another point. If one disrespects the devotees, Lord Kapiladeva says, then the deity worship is like offering ashes, you know, oblations unto ashes or something like that. That's in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we actually want to please the deities, we serve the devotees too. So that's also part of deity worship. We cleanse the temple. That's another part, Mandira Marjanata. Because the temple is a manifestation of Balaram, Shesh. The temple, the clothes of the deities, Singhasana, this is a very sacred place. Just like Vrindavan, you take the dust of Vrindavan. You not only go to the temple, but you take the dust and you roll in the dust because the dust is sacred. So every item that is meant for serving the deities, for increasing the Krishna Katha here, is sacred. We have to treat it like that. So you clean the floor, Prabhupada says, as good as deity worship. You do the garden, it's as good as deity worship. You fix, you paint the building, that's deity worship. You understand? Like the devotees are making arrangements to paint. That's deity worship. It's all part of serving the deities. And everyone should be enthusiastic. So if you're not second initiated, do something else. If you're second initiated, you should take it as your duty to serve the deities like that, some way or other. And anyway, I can't overstate the point, how important it is. And then you will be, go through the portal, and you will go back to home, back to Godhead. So the deities, another point about the deities is that it's very important for us to see the deities, because this way we are reminded that God is a person. You know, if we don't have a picture of Krishna, we don't have a form to see of Krishna, we become impersonalist, like the Arya Samajis. I was just thinking about the Arya Samajis the other day. How they're very similar to the scientists. You know the scientists? They think if you arrange the material energy in such a way, you'll get a specific result. That's science. You know, if you one day we're going to be able to teleport people to another place, anyway, by the arrangement of, anyways, some scientific, you know, mechanical arrangement. So, practically a little more sophisticated way, those who think that they can perform Vedic rituals and achieve some result and forget about God, you know, that's a karma mimamsa, that's the same thing. The scientists are actually karma mimamsis. The scientists are actually, mundane scientists, they're actually Arya Samajis. Because they think, the Arya Samaji, do your ritual, you do your havan, and you get the result. If there's God, it doesn't matter. He doesn't, anyway, he doesn't exist anyway. And the science is the same thing. Mundane science is the same thing. You do your scientific, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, you're going to get water. Doesn't matter if Varuna exists or not. You're going to get water. So you got the Arya Samajis, the scientists, like that, and Karma Mimamsas, which is the same thing. So we are interested in the personal relationship with Krishna, that's bhakti. And that's why it is absolutely essential to worship the deity. Because we're reminded every minute that Krishna is there. Okay. On that happy note, any questions or comments about these points? Yeah. What do you mean devotee tirtha? Yeah, great devotees, they make places, tirthas.
important, though.
They're both important. Both important. Actually, if you neglect the great devotees and you go to the tirthas, you don't get the benefit. And if you neglect the tirthas, then you don't get the benefit either. So they both have to be considered. Yeah, the devotee is called tirtha. And wherever a devotee stays, it's considered a pure devotee stays, it's considered a tirtha. Wherever the deities are installed, it's considered a tirtha. Wherever the deities are being worshipped, wherever the holy name is being chanted. But so this is good. This temple is as good as Vrindavanam. You can roll in the dust outside if you want. Yeah, why not? And why not? I mean, what's the problem with it? It's the dust of Vrindavan. I mean, I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference. When I see Radhagolok Bihari, I don't see any difference between that and Radhasham Shundar or Radhagolokananda, the deities I worship in the United States. It's the same. Now, not if, he's the same. Be careful by nomenclature. So, yes, Sumukha.
It was 6 months ago, Vishnu Prabhu took me to a program.
Yeah.
There was a program, and they said, so Sumukha could come with me to a program?
Yeah.
So, there were 10 Vaina Samadhi sitting there.
Yeah.
And he used to give the class. Vishnu Prabhu gave the class, and they opened the Vedas. Then, Vaina Samadhi, the school teachers.
Yeah. First of all, the Vedas originally come from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Veda Vyas divided the Vedas, and he compiled them. You know, he's the compiler of the Vedas. So what happened is that there was originally one Veda, and that was divided. That's why it's called Vyas, Veda Vyas. There's Samas and Vyas. You follow so far? That means he divided the Vedas into four. And then after that, he compiled the Itihasas, the histories, the Puranas, and of course the Upanishads came before that, the supplementary literature. And so what they claim is that there's only the four Vedas. But in the four Vedas, in the Rig Veda, it states several things that go against their claim. And even you can use the four Vedas to defeat them. It says, Itihasa Purananam Panchama Veda Uchate. What that says, in the original four Vedas, which they consider the only Vedas, it says, the fifth Veda is the histories and the Puranas. Itihasa means thus it happened in Sanskrit. Purana means like old. Purananam Panchama Veda Uchate are known as the fifth Veda. So, and then also you have Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padad Prashanti Yat Surya, which states in the, that's from the Rig Veda, it says all the demigods that worship in Vishnu. So you got so many statements in the original Vedas that actually, and I could get come up with more, I mean, I just have to research them, look in Prabhupada's books. That state the Puranas and Itihasas are part of the Vedas, whereas the Arya Samajis don't accept that. Oops. If they accepted the Vedas, they should also accept the Puranas and the Itihasas. Anyway, let them talk to me. But Vyas divided the Vedas. The author of the Vedas is actually Vishnu, you know, Krishna. Yeah, they're very confused.
You know, though we treat them as impersonalists, but they still do reference to Krishna.
Yeah.
You know, they do not deny, you know, the existence of the Bhagavad Gita anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone claims Bhagavad Gita, you know, as Vedic literature, then Krishna declares I am God.
Yeah.
So they're very confused.
They're very confused. They don't, generally they don't know what they believe in. But they generally, the Arya Samaj and the Brahmo Samaj, they don't like deity worship. That's one thing. And, you know, you have Dayananda Saraswati and others who form these different organizations. And one of the reasons that they formed their organization was that they wanted to bring people together. I mean, there was a political motive in the beginning. Because the Muslims, one of the main things the Muslims have against us, perhaps the only thing, is deity worship. And so they get very angry at deity worship because there's the whole history of the Muslim religion. Where Muhammad went into Mecca and he actually destroyed all the deities there. So the Muslims are really against deity worship. And so there was an attempt, not only by the Arya Samajis, but also the Emperor Akbar, his intention was to bring everybody together. And so he would regularly have meetings with the Vaishnavas. Of course, he was a mogul himself, but he married a Rajasthani princess who was Hindu. So he was very much into bringing all the religions together. And so the Arya Samajis, that was a political motive too, to bring everybody together. So you have to understand the background of the Arya Samaji. But the ones that I've spoken to, generally they think if you do your Vedic rituals properly, you'll get your result. So they have fire sacrifice and everything. And that's very similar to modern science. That if you perform, you put your chemicals together in the right way, you get an atom bomb. You know, put your elements together in the right way, you get an atom bomb or whatever. So.
They will be hesitant.
Yeah.
Because somewhere in their heart, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But because of so many years of practice and the rules and regulations, they want to outwardly deny it.
Yeah.
But I have yet to meet one Arya Samaji who will totally deny Krishna's supremacy.
Yeah.
They don't, but they are confused.
Yeah, they're very confused.
They're waiting.
Yeah, like Prabhupada said that many people in India are pretending to be asleep. He said the Western people are asleep, and the people in India who don't, are not Krishna conscious, they're pretending to be asleep. So it's harder to wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep. What's that?
When Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi bhasa suni prasarvanasa, what did he actually mean? What is Mayavadi?
Well, there's actually Mayavadi philosophy and impersonalism, which are actually two different things. And there's voidism, which is three different things. Mayavadi means Mayavadi. Everything is Maya, or the body of the Lord is illusion. Avijananti mamuda. That's Mayavadi. And then you have impersonalists who basically think everything is just the energy of the Supreme Personality, and not the Supreme Personality, but everything is energy. And they are not as offensive. They may be called Brahmavadis sometimes. They're not as offensive as the Mayavadis. And then you have the voidists who say everything, Buddhists, who say everything is void. Nothing is real. Strawberry fields forever. Anyway, that's a Beatles song. Right? Some of you may know that song. So that's the voidists. So you got voidists, impersonalists, and Mayavadis, which are three different categories. And not that everybody's a Mayavadi.
Maharaj,
yeah.
Prabhupada says, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mayavadi is basically, the concept is we are all God.
Yeah. Yeah, they generally think everything is, we're all God, and then Krishna's body is material. That's why they're called Mayavadis. Yeah, that's actually Shankarite philosophy like that. That somehow or other, we're God, but they don't explain what put God in illusion. That's the real logical fallacy of their argument. So if we're God, then illusion must be more powerful than God, so illusion must be God. Right? So you take it to a logical point like that. So obviously we're not God. So anyway, that Mayavadi is impersonalist and voidist.
People who say, we are all God, but we have some God in the situation. They do not actually understand what God means.
Yeah. Yeah, they think Who knows what they think? They're very confused. I mean, and they say that whatever is happening in this world is my lila. And then Prabhupada would reply, so your lila is to get sick? Your lila is to get old? Your lila is to suffer? What kind of lila is that? Lila means play. So if I say to you, let's play today, let's go out, Samuk, let's go out and play, let's suffer, get sick today. Would you like to do that if I invite you? And that's my lila. It's all crazy. All right, any other questions? Interesting points. Anyway, the main point I want to make in class is that devotees should be very enthusiastic to serve the deities here. It's not that just one or two or three people should be doing the deity worship. Everybody should be fighting for an opportunity to jump on the altar. Not jump on the altar. Serve the deities whenever possible. I mean, we're preaching, but we should take the opportunity. This is Krishna. Three devotees.
And supposing it was not your turn, you come dressed ready and hope that the roster devotee will not turn. And you're looking out, you know, he hasn't come. So in 1 minute to go, such was the enthusiasm.
Yeah, and that's how we should be enthusiastic now. Anyway. And also in the beginning we had three devotees doing RT here. Actually, I told the devotees, don't start with that standard because you're not going to be able to keep it up, and they didn't believe it. But, yeah, and the community, there should be community. In other words, the community gathers in the morning for seeing the deities, at least for the greeting of the deities, to get the blessings. And you get blessings. Your whole day will be successful. I mean, I would be scared if I was living right there in the ashram and I didn't come to see the deities every day. I mean, I was saying the same thing when I was in Auckland, New Zealand. There's this whole bunch of flats right at part of the temple property there. And half the devotees don't come see the deities. And I said, what are you thinking about? This is the deity's property. The deity is the king. And you're just filling your face with food every morning. And not coming to see God? I mean, if some Bollywood star came, you'd come from like Lotaka every day to see him. Isn't it? I mean, if Vivek Oberoi came, all you women would be here. I mean, the temple would be filled every morning, right? Or if Rani Mukherjee came, all the men would come. But God comes and nobody comes. Pretty stupid, isn't it? Yeah.
So, Radhika Prem used to go for the morning Mangala Arati and deity worship. Then she used to come back to the house. You know?
Yeah.
She used to start doing her homework, you know. And when the 7 o'clock darshan used to happen, Radhika Prem used to go like 7:20 or 7:30 to darshan again. You know?
Yeah.
Gauri Mata told her, no, as soon as the conchal plays, you should leave everything and run.
Mm. Yeah. It's not that Krishna should greet us. Isn't that, you know, we come and see him during the day, but there's a blowing, the conch is going to blow, and we're greeting Krishna. It's not that, you know, we want to stay in our house, Krishna should come to see me. We're Krishna's servant, isn't that? Yeah, if Krishna wants, he can come to see me. Or like in Los Angeles, the devotees watch on TV, they watch the deity worship. So I called up a friend one morning. He was in Los Angeles, I was on the East Coast, so it was like 8 o'clock or 5 o'clock his time. He said, I called him on the phone, and he said, oh, give me a second, I have to offer obeisances, I'm in bed. Because the deities were on his TV. Pretty interesting. Okay, whoops, we have to greet the deities. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.